Don't go. Hey, go.
Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvise Sashunyavadi Pasyatya Desatarine Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jayati Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gopidana Balava Yirvanadare Gopidana Balava Yirvanadare Yasoda nanana braga dana ranjana Yasoda nanana braga dana ranjana Jamunati ravanachare Jamunati Ramacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vyarya Jaya Radha Madhava
Jaya Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parabhidakacharya, Asadhara Siddhu Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, Shalasi, Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur Premanande, all glorious to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vrista Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamitam. Stay Sarasatam Deve Gauravanyaktare Nirvisesa Srinivari Pasca Jyade Om Aganata Vanandas Yaganjana Salakaya Chaksu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle
Svayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shigro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigram Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purujana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Sitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshri Prishuvana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Vavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prunitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Danyam gunevyas kartaram yada drastanu pashati gunevyas chaparam veti madhvavam sodigachati. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of material nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. Furthermore, one can transcend all the activities and the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly, by hearing from the proper souls. The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Similarly, it is for those who are fully in Krishna consciousness that one has to learn the science of activities in terms of the modes of nature. Otherwise, one's life will be misdirected. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. He is helpless, being in the grip of these modes, but when he can see his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Actually, the living entity is not the performer of different activities. He is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body, conducted by some particular mode of material nature. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. A man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the material modes of nature. It is even stated in the 7th chapter, but one who is surrendered to Krishna is relieved from the activities of material nature. One who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. Nanyam gunevya kartaram yada drastanu pashati gunevya straparam veti madhvavam sodigachati. One properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of material nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthavudaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunivadi Paskatya De Sitarane. Here in Bhagavad Gita, the stress is being given to coming to spiritual consciousness or spiritual understanding. That, and the process of coming to spiritual understanding is by hearing. that without hearing from authorized persons or persons of knowledge, there's no way that one can actually understand things properly. If one can understand things properly, then the disturbance of material nature, which are caused by the misconceptions that we have, they gradually cease. As Prabhupada writes here, that for one who can see things as they are, then the influence of the three modes of material nature gradually ceases. For instance, there's two ways of seeing. One is seeing things theoretically, and the other is by realization. Seeing things theoretically means, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained, Deinosmindita dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptira diryastatra namuyati. Krishna has explained that our body is changing. So that's practical. We all have experience that our body is changing. But we, the soul within the body, we're always the same. Therefore, by use of our intelligence, we're able to perceive that there's a difference between myself and the body. What that difference is not so clear when we're under the three modes of material nature. But if we use our intelligence, then we can see, to some extent, that I'm not my body. But we can't fully see. Therefore, in order to fully see, one has to act according to intelligence. And if one acts according to that intelligence, then the result will be that gradually his perception or his intelligence will increase. Or, as Prabhupada writes, for one who performs activities of knowledge, he strengthens his advancement in knowledge. Now, the conditioned soul, because we're conditioned souls, we also have a mind. We generally prefer, in conditioned life means, I prefer to act according to my mind. Sometimes we hear, even from the devotees, but what happens if I don't feel like it? If I have I don't feel something. We're generally in material life, we're very concerned about how we feel. We think it's very important how we feel. But how we feel, at least in spiritual life, is not so important. How we feel is simply a question of tolerance. Of course, that may seem, to some people, as being something impersonal. Oh, they're very impersonal and cold. They don't care how they feel. That's why they treat people so roughly all the time. But actually not caring how one feels means if one is actually working on the platform of intelligence, then it's much the opposite. Then he acts properly according to different circumstances to actually be pleasing to Krishna, which ultimately means that one is pleasing to all living entities, acting for their benefit. One acts appropriately. Acting on the mental platform according to how one feels generally means that one has a very good opportunity of acting inappropriately. Like if I feel like it in the material world, then I act nicely to someone. And if I don't feel like it, if I don't think I can gain anything from the person, then I act nasty to them because I don't care. It's according to how I feel that I think is important. But if one can tolerate his feelings and he acts for Krishna, then Krishna will cause one to act feel appropriately. So it's actually a higher level of feeling. Of course, acting so-called, thinking, it doesn't matter how I feel about something, sometimes can be abused. In other words, it's just an excuse to act according to how I really feel in the material modes of nature, according to my material consciousness, and blame it on Krishna. That because I'm a devotee, I don't really have to use my intelligence. I have some license to just act indiscriminately. But if one actually uses his intelligence, sees things properly in Krishna consciousness, understands how all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, how every body is the temple for Krishna, how I should serve Krishna appropriately to inspire people to become devotees of Krishna, then, as we can see from Prabhupada's example, he was a gentleman. Prabhupada once said that a devotee means a person who's a first-class gentleman. So Prabhupada acted very considerately and feelingly towards everyone because he actually used his intelligence rather than acting on some emotional platform according to how one feels under the modes of nature. As Prabhupada used to say, people, they say we want to love everyone. unfortunately, they don't love the animals. They eat the animals. They step on it, they kill the insects, but they want to love everyone. But this is all material. Because they don't realize the same soul is there in the heart of the dog as he is in the heart of the person, the heart of the tree. Therefore, if we actually want to love, be kind, then we have to be kind to everyone. And that's possible in Krishna consciousness. So here it says, one has to learn how to see things at least theoretically in the beginning, and then on the basis of that theoretical vision, that one should act appropriately. One should learn how to act appropriately. And if one does that, then the result is that one advances in real knowledge. But when one actually, the further one comes to realize things as they are, the more knowledge and detachment there is, then it becomes very much easier to give up unwanted habits, unwanted ideas. Therefore, the solution, Krishna says, is to come to knowledge, but not just theoretical knowledge. For instance, one may know so many verses, but not take any of them to heart. He may be able to quote so many verses, but he doesn't apply any of them within one's life. Therefore, knowledge, theoretical knowledge, whatever we know, is valuable only so far as we actually apply it within our life. And then it becomes experienced, realized. And then it serves to give one a higher taste, a higher perspective, which makes it very difficult to fall back into the lower taste, lower perspective on things. Just like if one is eating sweet rice mixed with sand for his whole life, he may not notice the difference. But if one day he's given sweet rice without sand in it, he may appreciate it. And next time they serve him sweet rice with sand in it, he may ask if there's any other, if there's a second choice. Is there any sweet rice without the sand in it? Therefore, here it recommends, at least at the beginning, we have to hear theoretically the knowledge coming from the spiritual authority. And although it may not immediately give us all transcendental benefit, in the sense that simply hearing theoretically doesn't immediately give us full realization, mainly because we can't hear. Because the conditioned soul, he doesn't hear submissively. He has no, that's why he's a conditioned soul. When he hears, it filters through his conditioning and it comes out the other side a little bit different than when it actually was spoken. He more or less hears what he wants to hear and doesn't hear what he doesn't want to hear. A lot of times if one is giving class, from my experience, that if one talks about a certain subject, everyone pays attention. And if you talk about another subject, which some people find is threatening their conditioned life too much, then immediately the defense reaction goes on, and it becomes real hard to hear. The mind says, "Don't listen to him. You know, it's Maya. He's going to cheat you. He's a fanatic. You know, he doesn't follow it himself. Go to sleep. Tune out. Just turn." And suddenly, yeah, boy, this is really hard. I need a rest. I'll just put on a smile and keep my eyes open and fall asleep. Therefore, it's very difficult for the conditioned soul to hear this philosophy perfectly, but somehow or another, as long as one tries to remain awake, something filters through on the other side. And maybe a little bell rings once in a while, a little small little bell. And then we say, well, maybe I should try it out and see what happens. And if we try that out, and see, then we make some advancement. If we hopefully try it out, then we make some advancement. And then we become a little more inspired go back to the Bhagavatam class the next day and to hear something else. Not that, why do I go to the Bhagavatam class? Because if I don't go, everyone's going to criticize me. And I'll have a hard time for the rest of the day. And I'll feel guilty. I go there because I feel guilty because they told me to go. And when I'm there, what do? Not much. I just kind of sit there and try and stay awake. I just hope it doesn't take too long, especially if it goes overtime and it's time to take prasadam. It's like a real tapasya. It's hard enough to sit there, but if it goes overtime and prasadam's late, then I don't know what. Then I simply sit there and think, what is this guy? Who does he think he is anyhow? Therefore, one actually has to, because without getting hearing and applying and getting some practical benefit, no one's going to be inspired, as we can see within our society, that sometimes, in some places, the only people who go to class are people who are, they have to go, either because of their lack of seniority or that they feel guilty if they don't go. But as far as actually hearing and getting inspired and applying it within their lives and they're thinking, this is a great opportunity, that's actually the platform we have to come to. And the real opportunity, the real inspiration, is that it practically gives one insight of what to avoid, what to accept. And so when one does that, one gets realization, which makes it easier to advance in devotional service towards the goal of Krishna consciousness. So here it says that the real benefit is for one who is able to see things as they are, then the influence of the material nature gradually ceases. So one has to be inspired that gradually the modes of material nature will cease. If one is thinking that actually I like the modes of material nature, I haven't really rejected them. It may appear to my mother and my friends that I've rejected them, but within my heart I'm still accepting them. But I've just had a hard time in the previous modes. I just want a better standard of the modes. So for one in such a position, he's actually a little anxious that if he gets too serious about Krishna consciousness, then the modes will cease, and there are different types of maya that one becomes afraid of. One thinks if the modes of material nature cease, then there won't be anything left. I'll be in the void. I won't have any real engagement. I'll wind up. So this is called fear of a personal spiritual identity. That if the modes of material nature cease, then I won't have any identity, I won't have any engagement, no one will love me, everyone will cut me off. So there are certain fears people are at, and we're thinking, well, maybe if I get into a higher mode, then I can actually be happy. I can get what I really want. I can try it out at least. And see if I try that mode out and see how that's like, which is what got us into the material world in the first place. Just the curiosity. What would it be like to try out that mode? And generally we start from the highest mode of the pure goodness and then we work our way down. So after working our way down, we think, well, this didn't work. Let me work my way up. It wasn't so bad. There were some nice moments. But one should actually be inspired somehow or another in the course of time. Actually, what happens then in the course of time, executing devotional service, one starts to realize that the modes of material, there is no happiness in any of the modes of nature. There's only happiness of getting out of the modes of nature completely into Krishna consciousness. Or we should say that the real happiness is in Krishna consciousness, and that has nothing to do with the modes of nature. It doesn't depend on any mode of material nature. So therefore, one should be inspired to become purely Krishna conscious and to get out of the modes of nature which sometimes interfere or impede one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. So for one who's actually able to see things in Krishna consciousness as they actually are, then one does not become attached or attracted to the modes of material nature anymore. Therefore it says the man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the modes of material nature. Although our body may be, because it's in the mode, it works according to the material nature, although the mind may be there, but the devotee, the man in Krishna consciousness, he's not under the spell of the modes anymore. If he's actually in Krishna consciousness, he's not influenced by it. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakar, Yahun Krishna Tahun Maya Haya Andhakar. That one is actually interested in pleasing Krishna, pleasing his spiritual master, then he's not going to be influenced by the modes of material nature. And for one who's not thinking of pleasing Krishna or his spiritual master, then at once some mode of material nature will come along and attract one. The mode will say, well, it's a much higher mode than you're in now. You know, don't complain. You know, you're actually making advancement. But it's the mode of material nature. Therefore, the devotee is not interested in any mode of material nature. He's interested in serving Krishna. By doing that, automatically everything comes, including a higher mode of nature. Finally, there's freedom from all the modes of nature. But his main interest is not to change one mode for the next. His main interest is to serve Krishna. And then automatically the modes of material nature, automatically liberation follows from all the modes of nature. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes. No, it means that previously babies are born in ignorance. They're completely in ignorance. And it means that previous to this, it means that since time immemorial, we've been going up and down through 8,400,000 species of life. Sometimes we're in a higher body, the demigod, and sometimes we're in a lower body. So we've been going up and down throughout the universe trying to taste different modes of nature. So here on this planet, we have a choice. What mode of nature we want to taste next. The demigods, they're tasting goodness. People in hell, they're tasting ignorance. In this planet, we have a choice how we want to work, what mode we want to take, or if we want to transcend the modes, come to Krishna consciousness. We also have that choice. Well, by definition, you're advanced if you use your intelligence in Krishna's service. So for one who's actually able to see things in Krishna consciousness as they actually are, then one does not become attached or attracted to the modes of material nature anymore. Therefore, it says the man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the modes of material nature. Although our body may be, because it's in the mode, it works according to the material nature, although the mind may be there, but the devotee, the man in Krishna consciousness, he's not under the spell of the modes anymore. If he's actually in Krishna consciousness, he's not influenced by it. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakar, Yahun Krishna Tahun Maya Haya Andhakar. That one is actually interested in pleasing Krishna, pleasing his spiritual master, then he's not going to be influenced by the modes of material nature. And for one who's not thinking of pleasing Krishna or his spiritual master, then at once some mode of material nature will come along and attract one. The mode will say, well, it's a much higher mode than you're in now. You know, don't complain. You know, you're actually making advancement. But it's the mode of material nature. Therefore, the devotee is not interested in any mode of material nature. He's interested in serving Krishna. By doing that, automatically everything comes, including a higher mode of nature. Finally, there's freedom from all the modes of nature. But his main interest is not to change one mode for the next. His main interest is to serve Krishna. And then automatically the modes of material nature, automatically liberation follows from all the modes of nature. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes. No, it means that previously babies are born in ignorance. They're completely in ignorance. And it means that previous to this, it means that since time immemorial, we've been going up and down through 8,400,000 species of life. Sometimes we're in a higher body, the demigod, and sometimes we're in a lower body. So we've been going up and down throughout the universe trying to taste different modes of nature. So here on this planet, we have a choice. what mode of nature we want to taste next. The demigods, they're tasting goodness. People in hell, they're tasting ignorance. In this planet, we have a choice how we want to work, what mode we want to take, or if we want to transcend the modes, come to Krishna consciousness. We also have that choice. Well, by definition, you're advanced if you use your intelligence in Krishna's service. Well, that may be all right, but at least he led a pious life in his last lifetime, which means he's been doing Krishna conscious activities for some time. If the remark is made to minimize his position, don't give him any credit, because it's not really his credit. It was from his past life. Then it doesn't really make any sense. Because the devotee, he doesn't give himself credit. He knows all the credit goes to his spiritual master and to Krishna. But at least he accepted their mercy. That's his credit. The sun may be outside shining, but if you choose to remain inside, you can't benefit from the sun. Therefore, the glory is that the person, at least he chose to accept the mercy. Other people reject it. Therefore, their lives become inglorious. But above intelligence is the activities of the soul proper. Therefore, in other words, above knowledge is not the highest platform. Love is higher than knowledge. The idea of knowledge is to help us bring us to the platform of love or devotion to Krishna. But knowledge is the primary factor by which we come to that platform. Knowledge brings us into proper association and gives us the proper direction by which we develop the proper service attitude. It makes the path clear. It gives us the realization that we have to develop an attitude of service, which ultimately brings us to the platform of pleasing Krishna, and Krishna helps us develop our dormant love for him. Therefore, knowledge is helpful, but it's not the goal. Devotion is the goal. Devotion to Krishna. That's the goal. The gopis, they don't know all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, but still they're considered the highest devotees, because they have their love for Krishna is unsurpassed. So if one can love Krishna, then automatically that is the highest knowledge. And if one doesn't love Krishna, then all his knowledge is useless. Well, what do you mean by accepted? Well, he's reciprocating as much as you follow the orders of your spiritual master. That's the connection. Depends what Krishna says. He himself personally reciprocates as you surrender to him. So as you surrender to Krishna, reciprocates. If you're doing service in the modes of nature, by definition, generally it's the mode of ignorance and passion and goodness. So Krishna reciprocates. If you're doing service to get free from distress, he helps you sometimes get free from distress. Or he may choose to put you in more distress, so you give up the idea of getting free from distress. So he knows what to do. As far as, you know, how Krishna reciprocates, he's not bound by my explanation of how he reciprocates. He's quite a free individual. He knows what to do. He doesn't, you know, what do I do next? He knows what to do. As far as it being, you know, a set thing, he's not bound by, you know, how he reciprocates, with his devotees at least. He's not bound by some explanation. Wait a second, they told me in Bhagavatam class he wouldn't do that. Why are you doing that? He may do any number of things. It's up to him. But he knows what to do to help the devotee advance in devotional service. So that's what he really wants to do. Yeah.
If he has bhakti, does that mean you're out of the mode?
Yes.
And if you
No. You could. It's like saying if you were eating sweet rice with sand and then suddenly you got sweet rice without sand, can you order the next day, let me try sweet rice with sand again? You could, but generally you won't. So if we're actually looking for happiness, which everyone's looking for, and one actually gets real happiness, then why will he look for unhappiness? No one in this material world is even now is looking for unhappiness. Everyone's looking for happiness. So if you actually come upon happiness, who would ever look for unhappiness? Even when we came to the material world, we weren't looking for unhappiness. We just wanted to try it out and see if it would make us happy. No one ever tries for unhappiness. It's just that we were mistaken what would actually cause us happiness. So if you find real happiness, then you know, why would anyone ever go back to unhappiness? Yeah, it is unhappy. You got to accept old age, disease, and death. How can you be happy if you know you're going to die? If we, you know, suddenly we gave you delicious prasadam, you know, we gave you $1 billion, a free certificate, you know, to go to the nicest places, stay at the nicest places, but we told you that you're going to die in 10 minutes. How happy would you be? Well, then, in any case, then as far as the mode of goodness, then obviously a release doesn't mean the mode of goodness. So even if you're in the mode of goodness, if you know you're going to die, how happy can you be? If you know you have to go through old age, you have to suffer. Even the mode of goodness means that I have knowledge that I'm suffering. If I think now I'm in the mode of goodness and I'm enjoying, what is an ignorance? That's not the mode of goodness, that's ignorance. Goodness means that I know that this material world is the place of suffering. And the so-called happiness in the mode of goodness is material. It means that one is relieved from the modes of ignorance and passion. That type of suffering. But he knows he's still suffering. Because there's no pure goodness in the material world. It's always contaminated by ignorance and passion. Anything else? Yes.
Is it possible to use most nature in Krishna's service? Or is it only possible for Maya to use it?
What mode of nature do you want to use in Krishna's service? You want to sleep for Krishna? I mean, we do engage, for instance, desire. As it says, karma, we engage our desires in trying to do activities to please Krishna. We engage our anger against Krishna's enemies. We engage our greed, being greedy to make advancement. So in that way, but then it's not in the modes of nature. If we're actually doing it for Krishna, then it's not in the modes of nature. So the modes of nature, when we're in the modes of nature, we're under the spell of the modes. We're not the controller of the modes. We don't do it. As far as our using things, we're not the user of the modes. The modes are using us. But when we surrender to Krishna, then he uses us also. So we can engage some tendency that we have. Like we can't stop desiring because we're alive. We're living entities. But we can desire to serve Krishna. We may have a tendency to become greedy, so that greed, we dovetail, we become greedy to make spiritual advancement. But that's not in the modes. That's under the Krishna's internal energy. Yes, we don't develop anything ourselves, but we choose to accept the mercy coming to us, and that way we have our part to play. Just like people can come to the Bhagavatam class. So that's our choice. Or we can go outside to go to the movies. So that we have our part to play. We have our free will. But we didn't create the body. We're not creating the Bhagavatam class. We're not creating any of this. It's an opportunity Krishna's giving us. But we voluntarily choose to accept it. And then Krishna makes the arrangement so we can benefit from it. So we see it as mercy, but we have our we can choose to get the mercy, or we can choose to get the punishment.
The mercy is always there.
Well, for us it is. As far as for not a, the mercy is always there? Not necessarily. We can put ourselves in a position where there's no possibility of getting any mercy. But now, we somehow or another, the mercy has been made available to us, and we've chosen to take it. Yes, Madhuri? I didn't understand. Excuse me. I didn't understand the first part. Well, if you chant without offenses, it's enough. And in order to do that, you have to use your intelligence and apply it in devotional service and hear about the philosophy. Unless you're on the platform where you can chant 100, 200 rounds a day, every day for the next, you know, to the end of your life, then there's no problem. I mean, but generally most of us aren't on that platform. Therefore, Prabhupada only asks us to chant 16 rounds and spend the rest of the time, you know, coming to our, doing our sadhana, and then preaching, helping the preaching mission. So that's the prescription that Prabhupada gave to us. So if we just follow the program, we become Krishna conscious, and Krishna consciousness and liberation and love for God, they both go simultaneously. If we understand who we are, automatically we understand who we're not. Thank you very much. Granth Raj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Prabhupada Ki Jai.